Good morning. Today is a Monday, the 8th of April. Dandy day that it is. Joining us this morning, Mr. Michael Davies Hughes from Humboldt County Office of Ed.
Howdy. Good morning. Happy Monday. It is a beautiful morning.
Yeah, I think we might have a trend going here of one. Do what we can do. Do what we can do. Now, are you ready for your question? This is in the holiday category.
Oh, I'm not ready for a holiday.
Oh, really?
But let's do it.
All right. What was the original meaning of Merry in Merry Christmas?
The original meaning of Merry. Well, I mean, obviously Merry is synonymous with happy and glad and Merry. Merry, Merry. Gosh, you've got me stumped on this one, Brian. Not the first time. Put me out of my misery.
All right. Today, Merry, as in Merry Christmas, suggests gaiety, a mood for celebration, but its original meaning was quite different. For example, the carol we sing, "As God Rest Ye Merry Gentlemen," should read, "God Rest Ye Merry Gentlemen." The word was at least 400 years old when it was first written down in 1827, and at that time, Merry did not mean joyous, but rather peaceful or pleasant. Which is better than what I was afraid of.
Well, yeah, I was afraid of something sinister and negative.
Sewage! You know, it's like, what? I've been doing some work before the show. That's where my head is at this point.
All right, well, peace.
Yeah.
Peace out.
Yeah. Don't drop the microphone, though, man. Oh, boy. So, what's happening out of the budget? Seems to be that time of the year. I know last time we got together, you kind of had some of the preliminary.
Yeah. Yeah, things are becoming less muddy. I won't say clear.
Clarified.
Less muddy. Yeah, we have an indication of some interesting maneuvers by the governor's office on how to reduce that huge deficit that we're expecting for next year. I mean, the good news for education is that much of education's budget is state budget is protected
because of the funding sources or how the funding comes from
priorities.
Oh, okay.
Just priorities.
So it's not the bond issues and all that kind of stuff that get
passed. I mean, we are looking at some deferrals or some reduction in facilities funding. So the governor's looking at putting more into a bond measure for school facilities, but so, I mean, that can have an impact, certainly, on when we're thinking about kindergarten and, you know, the transitional kindergarten and moving the age for kindergarten earlier so that...
You don't want to say nursery school, do you?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. No. So schools need more space to be able to accommodate more students who are in the younger grades. And so, you know, to be creative.
Do they need to have a classroom?
Yeah, they do.
What I remember of kindergarten probably is not what it is today. One, failing memory, undoubtedly. Two, not paying attention. But three, things have changed a little bit in 50 years.
Yeah, they have.
50. I'm using a round number.
We're going to give you some.
We might push it a little bit deeper down. But things are different. So
yeah, they are.
I think a lot of our references for nursery school and kindergarten probably are not quite as applicable as what we would like to think that they are.
No. Yeah, I mean, we're moving some of the expectations that we perhaps previously had in kindergarten and in first grade, you know, down to transitional kindergarten.
Really?
In terms of
first grade?
In terms of expectations. Whoa. Of students. I mean, the reality is
recognizing words and things of that nature. That was kind of my takeaway, that and being able to color wood between the lines.
We have, of course, kids are all at different places in terms of their skills, right? But we've got kids who are in kindergarten who are readers, you know, they're fluent readers. We think typically of first grade as being that critical year where students
kind
are learning to read.
Starting to, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But that isn't the same for every student. And so we've got to be ready to challenge students where they're at. And sometimes that's at kindergarten or earlier.
Do you have this is a weird question, but hey, I've earned the right to ask. Do you have the equivalent of Little League dads with education at kindergarten? You're smiling like a Cheshire cat, so either it's a really weird question or I just jumped into something that few think about.
Could you define the Little League dad concept?
My child can read. My child can do math. My child's going to Stanford at the age of 13 because she is so smart, so intelligent. Looky, looky, looky.
Well, of course. Of course we have that situation. You know, every...
See, for me, it was dodgeball and kickball. That was that. Yeah, if we mastered that, that was a good year. So to have those kinds of pressures on the kids.
Sure.
Pressures on the administration, the teachers.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Sounds bizarre,
you know, the
frankly.
the child prodigy concept. Absolutely. And, you know, every parent wants what's best for their child, and they want to make sure the child is challenged and supported. And kids come in different places, and some parents are more assertive than others when it comes to, you know, what kind of education the child wants or should have, you know.
Well, you're dancing around using right words like this is a school board meeting.
Well, you know.
Well, I think everybody recognizes that there's a range.
Yeah.
Okay, and there always is. You know, you can think of the kids that were extraordinarily athletic, seventh grade, and they didn't make the high school team because they just peaked early. You know, there's, I think, enough similar analogies that could be used, but I'd never thought of a kindergarten mom or dad.
Yeah.
Like I said, weird question, right?
No, not really. I mean, it is a reality. And I tell you, promotion, like, you know, students being promoted and accelerated, that's an interesting one.
Well, good. We've got something to talk about when we come back. Yeah. It's 8:19.
Murphy's Markets has everything you need to get through your day the healthy way. From drinks to snacks and everything in between, right now, Amy and Brian coconut water is only $1.99. Brew Dr. Kombucha drinks are also just $1.99. And Annie's homegrown products are $2.49. A 6-ounce Yoplait yogurt is only 79 cents. And don't forget about chicken of the sea tuna, 4 for $5. Get a boost for your day by stopping by Murphy's Markets, more than a grocer, your neighbor since 1971.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Michael Davies Hughes from the County Office of Ed. Boy, it really is clear outside, isn't it?
It is a beautiful.
I don't see anything looking North Bay. What do you see over my shoulder at the
spectacular.
Over the mountain?
Yeah. Spectacularly clear morning.
Cool.
We are grateful to live in Humboldt County.
Yeah, no kidding, every day. So the consideration of either accelerating or holding kids back.
Yeah.
Most kids don't want to stand out. Either option, they're standing out. How is that determination made? Or are kids held back anymore? I remember flunking was always one of those big ogres that would be, at least lip service was, a motivator. You don't want to be held back.
Yeah.
You want to stay with your buddies, stay with your class, get through, not have to... And I think for some on the ragged edge, that might have been enough to bring them along. But again, things have changed.
Yeah, I mean, there are students that are still retained. Evidence, research has shown that...
Retained?
Retained.
We can't say flunked anymore?
Well, no, that's a pretty subjective term there, Brian.
Pretty clear, too. I think we all know what it means.
Retained.
Retained sounds like you might have a water problem.
Well, retained means that you're staying the same grade level rather than being promoted with your, you know.
You're not going to play.
And you're not necessarily.
You're not playing this morning with me, are you?
You're not necessarily flunking to be retained. I mean, there may be other reasons as well. I mean,
like what?
We talked about maturity of students. And if you are, let's say that you are an early kindergartner, so, you know, your birthday was in that.
Right, in that trend, in that zone of one
time,
way or the other. Yeah.
Right, and perhaps you would benefit, developmentally, you would benefit from another year in kindergarten or in first grade, then that can be a factor because it's not just about
who makes that call, though.
Now
we're starting to get into the emotional, psychological part, parenting part.
Yeah. It's usually if the teacher is noticing or if the parent is noticing that there's some misalignment between the grade level they're in and their capabilities, their performance in that grade level, not just academic.
Oh, well, so if they're not engaged. Okay, I guess that would be one standard that you would reference, huh?
How are they doing? Are they being successful in the grade level that they're at? What are some factors that could be contributing to that misalignment or them not feeling successful in the class? And can that be remedied by keeping them in the class, providing that support and intervention? And that is like the default, right? You want to, as much as possible, have a student stay in the class, stay with their peers.
Yeah, move up. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
There are exceptions, and these are exceptions, very rare, where that's maybe not the intervention that is work. The gift of time sometimes is the best thing that can be provided to a student, especially in that early grade. As they get older, Brian, that becomes more of an issue, right? If you're retaining students in fourth, fifth grade, there's an impact to that, not just academic, but there's a social-emotional impact,
right.
A relationship impact.
Well, and when summer school was normal, so you could have the fun classes and you could have the remedial classes and you could have the, the hobby classes, the fun classes, that kind of stuff. Summer school had zero negative connotation, mm-hmm. other than, yeah, I got to go. From the kid's perspective.
Yeah.
But it didn't have any of that baggage associated with it. Is summer school back to being what summer school was with more than just the catch-up classes, but some of the fun classes,
absolutely.
Some of the activity classes,
yeah.
So that you could take, let's say if I'm behind in reading, okay, I can take a reading class, but I also can maybe try woodworking or learn how to crack an egg or something like that, a home ec class.
Oh, I tell you what, the expanded learning program that we have, especially here in Humboldt County, and kudos and a shout out to all our expanded learning staff that we have across the county, it's exceptional in terms of the opportunities for students. I mean, everything from, physical education activities to coding to...
Coding? You mean like writing?
Computer code, yeah. And of course, the academic aspect, like you're talking about it.
Yeah.
I mean, summer school is fun. Dare I say?
Yeah, it's the classes you couldn't. I still remember with Mark Casanova, sorry, Mark, taking a marine biology class at Eureka High as a sixth grader. And just before that, I had typing.
Mm hmm.
And it was like doing things that you couldn't do typically in that age group. But you got to kind of play older to be able to do some of that stuff as well as, catching up.
Well, think about
No stigma with it. It was
no.
Something that everybody,
no.
Or vast majority of folks did.
I mean, it is absurd to punish students with the subject that you want them to get the most help with, right? So if it's something that they're not being successful in, you do not want to use that particular subject as punishment. I'm going to give you the usual example.
Negative reinforcement.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Physical education, right? Running the mile. Okay, I'm lousy at running the mile. So what am I going to do? Well, if you don't run the mile in X amount of time, you're going to do 50 push-ups, right? for every second that you're slower than the other next slowest person. I mean, it sounds absurd.
Though I'm laughing because it's what Bob Hamilton did at UC Davis. You had to run a 6 minute mile or you were not on the team.
Yeah.
That was it. That was the training regiment. Yeah, another flashback moment. It's 8:30.
Something big.
Okay, it's a nice ride.
It's going to happen.
Stand by playback.
And now.
Live. Real Red Meat Radio.
I keep forgetting I'm president.
This is the Lars Larson Show.
And these kids who come, they become Americans before a lot of Americans become Americans.
Now, here's your host, Lars Larson.
Hey there, it's Lars Larson. Join me for the Lars Larson Show, weeknights 10 to midnight. Honestly provocative talk radio on KINS.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with Michael Davies Hughes from Humboldt County Office of Ed. One of the things I think probably the most common grade that I got in elementary school, going to Worthington, which now I don't even know what it is. I think one of the Indian tribes has a hold of it at this point. Achieving at or below apparent ability, which might be the mantra for my... Oh, maybe, Winston, that's what I can put on the house. Achieving at or below apparent ability. Oh, that'd be funny as all get out. I think me and my brother would be the only ones that would get it, but we would laugh. Oh, I'm going to have to remember that one. Anyway, so you've got a kid that is accelerating in some areas.
Yeah.
Either at or above class level. But for half, maybe more than half, bored to tears, not participating, zoned out. Now, I guess, probably playing with cell phones or, you know, doodling or whatever it might happen to be. A misinterpretation at that point could really complicate things significantly if you held them back.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't know if the communication is better between students and teachers or parents and students and teachers or if it's worse or, you know, and that's the fear that I've got with some of the early stuff, is that a kid can get typecast.
Yes.
And now you run it for 3 or 4 years, and now it's quote-unquote confirmed, and the basic assumption is way off base.
Yeah.
How do you avoid that scenario coming out? Because I'm sure that, you know, if I can come up with it, I'm sure lots of other people have also. Right. How do you avoid that element? Or somebody who's really kicking butt and everything, but drag an anchor in one that's critical, and you still don't want to hold them back, but that's a foundational cornerstone for future success.
Sure. And we do have that in the situation in the classroom, right? I think I compare that the first part that you talked about is, you know, what if a kid's just bored and they're acting out in class? For the most part, students don't act out in class because they're hell-bent on making their teacher's life miserable, right? That's just not the reality.
No, it's typically bored. I mean, you hear comedians will talk about how they acted out in that time of their life, either for attention or they were just stone-cold bored.
So the teacher needs to really know the student. Right? What are the areas where the student really thrives? Why is it that they're not doing what they are expected to do based on their ability, right? What you talked about earlier. It's kind of akin to medicine. So, you know, misdiagnosing a patient is probably the worst thing that you could do, right?
That's on the physical side rather than the mental side. We're talking mental.
Yeah. Right, exactly.
Sure.
And so what does a good physician, a good doctor do is that they look at, well, what are the possible diagnoses for this patient based on how they're presenting themselves, right? Because you have a pain in your side, it doesn't mean that you have cancer. Your kidneys are failing, or that you have cancer.
It could be that arrow that's stuck in there. I mean, you know, something like that.
Right. Or you have appendicitis, or you know, you've had too many rich foods or something. You know,
a myriad of options.
And that's what teachers and support staff in a school will do. When they see a student presenting themselves with certain behaviors, they dig deep and figure out, okay, well, what are the possible causes for that? And let's address that and not go straight to a diagnosis that, you know, you're acting out because you're just
send you to the office
disrupting student. Then out you go. So I think that level of care and commitment is, I'm not saying that it wasn't there before, but I certainly see it now.
I think it was, again, you know, from a kid point of view, I think it was easier before because, you know, we had 27, 28 kids in the classroom. So if one stood out, you could really tell that it was a real minority of the student population in that classroom. Mm-hmm. What is it now, 20 kids? 18,
well, it depends on the class. It depends on the class. The younger classes tend to have smaller class sizes.
Okay. So you get one acting out, and maybe it doesn't stand out because it's only one out of a dozen or so kids. Rather than one out, sample size.
Believe me.
Yeah, I know, it's not 12.
It does stand out.
Yeah. Well, is it the overt or is it the quiet?
Yeah. You got to watch for both, right?
I was the quiet.
Yeah.
Believe it or not. I was the quiet, you know, the compliant.
That is
so
tough
it wasn't
to
like
believe.
Lighting mm-hmm. fireworks off in the middle of the classroom and laughing my head off.
Yeah.
It was just kind of sitting there, you know, sketching or doodling or, you know, trying to do a crossword puzzle or make up a crossword puzzle, that kind of stuff.
Right. Those are the ones, you know, you're the type of student you got to be careful of, right? Well, and you don't want to miss those because if a student goes through each grade level and they're just, you know, they put their head down, they're not disruptive. They
A B student, but it's not average.
Yeah.
Either A's or C's. That's what I was. Even in high school, if anybody ever goes back through it, and I don't know why they would, 3.0 on the button.
Yeah.
That was it. Either I would be interested or not and perform accordingly.
Right.
And I would think, is that normal? I cannot hyphen me to normal. Is that routinely experienced? Or is that something that's a little different, that either a kid really does well or gets by?
Yeah, I would hope that we don't classify any student as being kind of getting by, because I think that's a failure on our part as an educator.
The kid point of view, not the educator's point of view.
Yes. Okay. Yeah, from the kid point of view, I mean, some students are perfectly happy with just, you know,
getting by.
I just want the C.
Yeah.
Just give me the C or just give me the B, whatever. I mean, grades are just so subjective. At the end of the day is, do we have students that are in the class who are engaged, right? Like they're interested in their learning, that they're feeling, that they are feeling successful. And if they're not, what's going on? Let's dig a little deeper here so that, because if your best is a C, that's
congratulations.
Great.
Yeah. Where is that line of ain't your business when you start trying to figure out what's going on? Versus, hey, we can help you out.
Yes.
I mean, obviously, that those are the ends of the spectrum that are there.
Yeah.
I'm sure, you know, I know you're as aware as everybody else is that there's overstepping from some parents' perspective, mm-hmm. overstepping by the educational system, or not providing enough.
Yeah.
At the same point on that continuum. Mm-hmm. So how do you teach your teachers that part of the equation? Or is it even their responsibility? Is it somebody else's in the educational system these days?
Well, the teachers spend certainly the most time with their students, right? A little bit different in the secondary school situation where they're, you know, students are coming in for a 55-minute block of time or whatever it might be, and they're going on. But in that case, their teachers from the different subject areas get together as a grade-level team or as a department, and they will case, quote-unquote, case students. Like, hey, I've noticed, you know, that Brian's having a really hard time in my class. Do you see anything going on in your class with Brian? And so they have that conversation. Yeah, I've been noticing he's been seeming really distracted, and he's also absent quite a bit. Huh, I wonder what's going on there. So then the teacher, maybe the one of those teachers, maybe the one that makes the phone call to the parent and say, hey, we've noticed that Brian's been absent quite a bit. And then when he's in class, he seems really distracted. Is there anything that I should know as a teacher that you can tell me that would help him in my class?
Help me help him.
Right. Help me help him. Yeah. And if there's something that's deeper that's going on, and maybe the teacher feels, okay, well, maybe I'm not the best person to address this with Brian, but I have a school, you know, mark the spot, a school social worker, school
or his
psychologist.
His favorite teacher.
Or the favorite teacher, right?
I know this may sound bizarre. I can't imagine it not being that way. But during the breaks or whatever they're called now, in the old days it was nutrition breaks. It was like, yeah, go get a candy bar. And lunch. I don't even think you guys allow that on campus anymore. Or after school. Teachers hanging out in the classroom open, and they may be doing their grading or whatever. The door is open, and you know, some kids will come in, and either they'll hang out or they won't hang out. But the accessibility to the teacher was such so that there could be a bonding. I mean, I remember doing that. Lucy Quimby was seventh grade, I think, teacher of English. I remember hanging out. I knew her before Lou.
Yeah.
You know, for like 20 years. I mean, there's a chance to connect.
Sure.
If the classrooms are open and the teachers are there.
Yeah.
And just kind of hanging out instead of, you know, hustling off to the teacher lounge. Is that normal these days? I don't know.
Well, we have the whole range, you know,
yeah.
Of teachers who do just that. Keep their classrooms open. Students can come and go. You know, obviously you have to respect how the teacher wants to manage their time outside of their class time.
Oh, sure.
In terms of preparation, grading, all those kinds of things. It is helpful in terms of developing relationships when a child can be in an environment where the pressure of the being in the class with their peers is lessened, and maybe there are only two or three students who are there, and they're just having a conversation, or, you know, there's some element
of safety.
Or get
to know the teacher as a person?
And vice versa.
Instead of a teacher?
And vice versa, right?
Yes.
Get to know the student as a person rather than as a student.
Right.
So it works both ways. But we find the students who are feeling most engaged and most successful in the class, you know, at the end of the day, it's about relationships, right? Students' relationships with one another, students' relationships with the teacher, teacher's relationship with the student.
Yeah. Yeah, the ones that you liked, everybody was hanging around. Everybody. Okay, you get four or five kids in there, and they just kind of hang around a couple times during the week, during the lunch break or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:45.
Hearty and healthy foods are abundant at Murphy's Markets. USDA Choice Boneless Beef Chuck Roast is now $5.99 a pound. USDA Choice New York Strip Steak, $15.99 a pound. And USDA Grade A Boneless Skinless Chicken Thighs are only $3.99 a pound. Complement this with a Greek salad, now just $7.99 a pound, topped with Kraft salad dressing for only $3.75 for a 16-ounce bottle. Murphy's Markets, more than a grocer, your neighbor since 1971.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:49. We're back talking shop this morning with Michael Davis Hughes. Budget is kind of where we started with this discussion.
It was, wasn't it?
Yes.
Wow.
Classroom settings for the wee little ones. Is the money there? Are you going to look at portables? Cafeteria during the time when nobody's using it? I mean, are there facility management challenges that are there, or facility management opportunities that exist for all these new different pods of youngsters?
Yeah, and it varies from school to school in terms of their capacity to be able to have space for students. So some districts, you know, they're going to be able to accommodate the new students that are coming in terms of the expansion of kindergarten because they just have the space. I mean, obviously one of the things that we've been dealing with for a long time in Humboldt County is declining enrollment. Right. And so when we have less students, we need less space. And so there's been some ability to consolidate, be flexible, and move students into classrooms that were previously unused. That is not the case for some districts. Some districts have, because of declining enrollment, have, you know, either sold school sites and they have less, so they have more students in
so
those sites.
Capacity is
so their capacity
physical is smaller.
Exactly. Yeah. And so they're looking at, okay, well, how can we build? Right, either through bond measures or facility.
That would be a big whoops. You sell it off, and now you have to build it today's cost. instead of having it paid off from 40 years ago.
Sure, and that's, you know, that's something that you have to look at very carefully.
Can you just bring in a portable?
You can bring in a portable.
I know they're not long-term solutions, but
no, but
it
we
can
have
bridge
some portables
for a while.
That have been on school sites for 25 years, you know. I mean, it's possible to do that. If you have the space on your campus to be able to bring in a portable, there are obviously all the requirements that go along with any facility that you have students in, right? So you've got to go through this process with DSA, all the permitting, you know.
Oh, really, even if it's you buy from manufacturer X, I mean, yes, whoever that is, they haven't already passed all the qualifications. You just have to bring it in and make sure you got the ADA access to it, and it's rock and roll time.
In terms of size and the materials that are used for it, those may be passed, but then, you know, how is it being hooked up, right? Who's responsible for that?
Isn't that called an electrician?
Well, sure, but then it's got to be checked then, right, that electrician has done what they are supposed to do.
County permitting processes and then a certificate of occupancy? That's not enough for the state?
It just takes a while.
Ah!
It takes a while. Yeah. Well, we understand, you know, we're talking about kids and kids' safety, and we want to make sure that every I is dotted and every T is crossed. It is less cumbersome, and I'm not a facilities expert by any means, so we may have others that would disagree with me on this, but it's less cumbersome to bring the portable in and get it ready for students in terms of the permitting process than it is to do brand new construction.
Yeah, quicker turnaround, sure.
Mm-hmm,
that would make sense.
But it's still there, you know, and then think about ramp access, for example.
The ADA stuff.
Mm-hmm, all the ADA stuff. So
that's why you build it on a hillside. Cut it into the hillside. And just
okay.
No?
Well, you know.
May not work at Marshall or some of the.
Don't quit your day job, Frank.
Yeah, I got to find one first. Oh, geez. So if parents or have concerns, is it the teacher? Is it the principal? Is it the board? Is it your office? Where do they turn to either fill in their information so they can make a better decision, or if they have a genuine concern either about their kid being accelerated, not being accelerated, et cetera, et cetera?
If they're already in school, so we're not talking about the students who are coming into transitional kindergarten. They're already in school. Let's start with the teacher. Have the conversation with the teacher. And I would expect that would be reciprocal in terms of if there's a teacher that sees a concern with the student. They've talked to their colleagues if they're at an older age. Connect with the parent. It's a team effort.
Start from there. Thanks for coming by.
My pleasure.
Welcome to the week.
Yahoo.
Yeah.
Let's go.
See everybody tomorrow.